Well, good morning, girls and boys. We're turning to John chapter 17, and the verse we're going to look at today is the verse 14. Verse 14. Let me read it to you. Savior is speaking here, of course, and he says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. This is a lovely verse. Do you know, in the middle of the night, I woke up, and a little thought jumped into my head, and I had to get up and just jot it down, because when you get to my age, little thoughts can jump out of your head again, and no matter how you try, you can't find them, and you can't remember them. I had already prepared some notes, but I added this particular thought to the very start of our study. And it sits right there at the beginning of this verse. The Savior says, I have given them. Now he's talking about his disciples. You remember that. He's talking about his disciples specifically. He's about to leave the world and he's praying to his Father for them. And he says here, I have given them thy word. And I want us first of all to notice God's gift from heaven for mankind. I have given them thy word. And the Lord has so organized his people that through them the word of God is still being offered to all mankind. To all mankind. I want you to do something for me right now. All of you, take your Bible in your hand, hold it up. That's it. Now, what you are holding up is God's gift to you. That's what you're holding up. I want you to recognize this truth. Every time you lift your Bible, every time you see your Bible, remember, this is God's gift to you. Think on that and say, God has given me this. How kind is God that he has given you this gift? Now, gift, boys and girls, never lasts. Many of you have been given gifts and presents, and many of them have ended up, after a little while, in the bin, broken, useless, no longer of any value or use. Some of you have hung on to certain gifts that were given you. You have a particular affection for those gifts, and you like to take them out and play with them. But no gift is of equal value to that of the Bible. It is the only gift that can open the door of heaven for you. It's the only gift by which God speaks to you and tells you the way of salvation. There is suggested to us in this verse, or I should say in these opening words of the verse, that which I would want to stress. I have given them thy word. Notice that. The Lord Jesus says the word he has given and which he has distributed to men is the word of his Father. That Bible you're holding is the Father's gift. It has come from the Father. But the Holy Spirit has been involved. He has inspired the words in that book and preserved them too for you. Maybe I could say that the gift of the Father has been wrapped up by the Holy Spirit. And then, as the opening words say, I have given them. The Lord Jesus brought from heaven that book, the Word of God, for you. Oh, that you might understand how significantly personal the Word of God is for you. God speaking to you. This is God's message to you. Then secondly, I want to notice that the true child of God, now listen to this, the true child of God has a special relationship with the Word of God. I have given them thy word. For 20 years, I had a relationship with the Bible. It was a relationship in which I never read it. I never thought about it. I didn't really have any respect for it. But then I got saved. And I got saved as a result of the Lord working in my heart, opening my eyes, giving to me a spirit of faith and repentance. And from that day, I viewed the Bible in a very different way. It had a place in my life that it never had before. It became wonderfully precious to me. Wonderfully precious to me. I remember, and I've told you this before, only there's new little faces here that I haven't said this to, so I'll repeat it. I remember when I wasn't too long saved, sitting in a service in the old Ravenhill Free Presbyterian Church, and Pastor Willie Mullen, who's gone to heaven, he was preaching, and in a fashion that was his alone, I remember him taking his Bible that was before him and setting it down on the pulpit, closing it over, and then taking a hymn book and putting it on the Bible. And then he said very sharply, "Never do that. This is the Word of God. Don't ever put anything on top of it or before it." That was written right there in my heart. I can still hear him say that. Right now I can hear him say it. And I think from that moment, I had a regard for the Bible and a particular respect for it, so that if I ever saw where anybody had left the hymn book on top of their Bible, I couldn't go past it, even though it wasn't my Bible and wasn't my hymn book. I couldn't go past it without putting the hymn book under it. I couldn't stand seeing the Bible thus disrespected. Don't you ever forget that. This is a special book. And the true child of God has a special relationship with it. It has to have a place in their heart and life. And if you're saved today, it is the case. If you're not saved, it's not so. You don't particularly take any regard to what the Bible has to say. You have up to now just rejected. Your ears have been closed to the Word of God. But the true child of God has taken that which the Lord Jesus has given them, the word of his Father, and they have hidden it in their hearts. Do you hear me? Hidden it in their heart. Listen to this. Psalm 119 and verse 11. It's the psalm all about the word of God. It says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." I was reading just the other day, although I have read similar stories many, many times, where somebody has uncovered in somebody's field, not always their own field, has uncovered a whole collection of gold coin buried there hundreds of years ago because they were precious to the person who buried them and they were fearful of them being stolen. Maybe there was some threat in the land, in their neighborhood at that time, and they gathered their money together and they went out, dug a hole, put them in the ground, covered them up, hid them, to preserve them, to protect them, to keep them, because they were precious. That's what the psalmist did. He hid the word of God in his heart. That's what you should do with the Bible. When you're reading the Bible, you should be trying to get it into your heart and hide it. Oh, boys and girls, how wonderful it is. Now, when we hide the Word of God in our heart, it has an impact upon our mouth. What's in there in our heart comes out through our mouth. I remember a little verse that says, "Oh, taste the Lord." And when we have a taste of the Word of God, it scents our breath, just as you, if you eat a certain type of sweet, like a peppermint, those who pass you can, "Oh, you're eating peppermints." They can smell the peppermint on your breath. Oh, the sweeties are way down here in your tummy. But the scent of it, the perfume of it, is on your breath. Well, it's the same with the Bible. When it's in your heart, it comes out through your mouth, the influence of it. Listen to these words. My tongue. This is Psalm 71 for you older ones. Psalm 71, verse 24. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. And again, Psalm 119, 172. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. So, boys and girls, when the word of God is hid in your heart, it will come out through your mouth. Which leads us on to say that the word of God hid in the heart of the Christian comes out through their mouth, and the Christian's tongue thus becomes a great benefit to all around. The mouth of the ungodly is full of cursing and lies and deceit. It vexes me, you know, that I cannot walk the street and pass men and women and young people without hearing foul language. Doesn't matter what they're talking about, foul language just flows out of them. Filthy language. Ungodly men love to talk of filthy things, wicked things. But it's not the case with a child of God. The Christian's tongue is a great benefit. Isaiah chapter 50 and the verse 4 says this, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. That's what God would have you to do. He wants you to become a mouthpiece for his word. I remember the very first time I visited the old Independent Baptist Tabernacle in Ballymena, where Dr. Paisley was brought up as a wee boy, for his dad was the preacher, he was the pastor, he was the minister, and his mother was the Sunday school teacher. And he was down preaching there in 1965, and he told me, you come down with me and you can give your testimony in the meeting. So I was down, and I got up into that pulpit, I can see it still, although it doesn't exist anymore, and I gave my testimony. Dr. Paisley explained, this young fellow's got saved just a year ago, and now he's studying to be a minister. And I gave my testimony. And there was a well-known member of the congregation came to me afterwards. I had explained, I suppose, in my testimony, that I really knew nothing of the Bible when I got converted. And they said to me, son, read your Bible, and it will speak out through you. Read your Bible, and it will speak out through you. Those are wise words, true words. And boys and girls, God wants that word that he has given you to be hid in your heart and then to come out through your mouth unto all around as you tell of Jesus, the mighty deceiver. These were the last words the Savior spoke to his disciples before he ascended up to heaven. Matthew 28, verse 20, he says, I want you to go into all the world, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, or the end of the age. That's what he said to his disciples. Everything I taught you, everything I put into your heart, now you go out and share it with the world, and I'll be with you. Oh, the Lord is with those who seek to publish his word faithfully. Yes, indeed. Now, the third thing I want to say is this. When we have been given the word of God, when we possess the word of God, it draws the hatred of men upon us. Look at our text, verse 14, John 17. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. The world hates those who have the Bible, who are linked with the Bible. We have at this moment a great conflict going on in the land of Israel and round about its border. And politicians will tell you, oh, this is happening because of this, because of that, because of the other thing. But I'll tell you why it's happening. It's because the nation of Israel, even though at this present time Israel does not obey God's word, nevertheless, in the eyes of the world, Israel will always be linked with the Bible. And because of that, they're hated. they're hated. In recent days, on the streets of London and various other cities, including Belfast, the voice of hatred of the Jew has been heard, and that's because the Jew is mentioned in the Bible. The Jew is to God a special people because the Bible tells us that, and they're hated. Hating the Word of God, wicked men hate anyone associated with it. Many times in my life, I've been talking to men and women, talking about general things, and they have been happy to converse with me and talk to me with a smile on their face, and then I mention the Bible, and the smile disappears, and they're cross. They don't want to hear anything about the Bible. When God gives you His Word, and you put it in your heart and hide it there, and begin to speak in accordance with that Word, the world will hate you. That's what the Lord says. And that is the experience of every child of God. Now, hatred is very strong. The word that we have translated hatred here, or hated, the world of hated, it means detest. Now, detest is to count something as awfully repugnant. You don't want anything to do with it. You wouldn't touch it. That which you detest. And that's the word God has put forth regarding the attitude of the world to the true child of God, in whose heart is the word of God, and out of their mouth it is flowing as a witness. Now the world hates. How blind is man that he should hate John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why would man hate that? But man hates it. He hates it because those loving, tender, blessed words bring home to man that he's a sinner, and that if he doesn't receive Christ as his Saviour, he's going to perish forever. And man hates being told that, and hates the message that tells him that, and hates the messenger who brings him that. The last thing I want to say is this. When we have received God's Word and hidden it in our hearts, it wonderfully changes us. It transformed us. Look at the rest of the verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Do you see the change there? The Word of God will make you no longer like the world you once belonged to, but it will make you like the Saviour. You'll take on His likeness. The influence of the Gospel, when first we encounter it, if we believe it and receive it, will create new life within us. Peter says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God. You have down there in the garden the tunnel, haven't you? And you've all been down there at some time or other, and maybe even done a bit of work. And you have seen, coming up out of the ground, that which was planted as a seed. It was only a tiny little seed, but there it is now growing. Flour, beans. Oh, I don't know all the things you've planted down there. Well, God's Word, the seed, brings eternal life into being within us when we receive the Word of God. More than that, it purifies. To use a big word that's in the Bible, it sanctifies. Sanctification is that wonderful process that takes place in the Christian whereby they become less and less like the world, less and less like what they used to be, and more like the Lord. And the Word of God does that. The Word of God changes us into a likeness of Christ. Listen to these words, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, with open face, a face that is open to receive what it is we see. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass or a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So when you look into that book, what you see there, what comes out of that book, will change you. And it will change you so that you look like the Lord. Do you hear me? You can tell whether a person really reads their Bible by how they look. The person who really reads their Bible, constantly reads their Bible, they take on the look that resembles the Lord Jesus. John chapter 1 verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Those early disciples, they walked with the Lord for those 3 years. And as they walked with Him and looked upon Him and listened to Him and obeyed Him, they were changed. We have it in the life of Saul of Tarsus, the persecutor of the church, the hater of the gospel, changed into Paul the Apostle. That is still having an impact on this world. 2,000 years after he died, he's still having an impact upon this world. Let me illustrate what I'm saying by mentioning something that's well known to you. Summer's over. We don't see nearly as much of the sun as we did during the summer. Now, what happened to you when you were out in the sun? When you were out playing about in the sun, what happened to you? Why, you would come in and your mum would look at you and say, oh, you've been out in the sun, because your face showed it. And there's people who go out in their swimsuits and they lie down on the ground for hours and are burnt by the sun. They get sunburned. The shining of the sun down upon them has an effect on their skin. And they're turned a nice tan. People like that and look so healthy and well. And they value that. In fact, so much so that when the sun is not shining, they go along to places where you can lie on what they call a sun bed, an apparatus that you lie under certain lights, and the lights do what the sun does. Gives you a tan. Gives you a tan. Boys and girls, when you read the Bible and look into the face of the Son of God, you begin to show in your life that you have been exposed to the glory of the Lord. You remember Moses, when he was up on the mount? He said, O Lord, show me thy glory. And just as we cannot look at the sun without harming ourselves, look at it in its brightness on a clear day, you couldn't look at it. It would hurt your eyes, damage your eyes. Well, likewise, the Lord said to Moses, well, I can't show you my glory, for no man can see my glory and live. But I let you see something, just something, of my glory. And as a result of that, when Moses came down from the mountain, what was the case? Do you remember? His face shone with the reflected glory of the Lord. And I'm telling you, that's what happens when you read your Bible. And you look there and see the Savior and rejoice in what is shown to you there of the Savior. And you look with love and affection into His face. It will show, just like Moses, there will be a glow to your countenance and in your life. Boys and girls, will you remember that? Will you remember that? And of course, I have to ask you in closing, have you received the Word of God? Has it taken up a place in your heart and mind and in your affections? Are you saved today? Are you? The Lord Jesus says, I have given them thy word. I have given them thy word. Have you received it? God's word is offered to you today by the hand of Christ. Will you take it if you haven't done so before? Please. It's in your hand. The most of you have the word of God right there in your hand. But do you have it in your heart? God help you to understand and to obey. Let's bow together, please, as we come to the end of our study. Lord, bless your word to every heart. We cannot but ask thee, Lord, to open hearts to receive thy truth this day. Bless our school in all its activities. Take care of everyone on their autumn walk. For Jesus' sake, amen. Amen.